In the Bible, we saw that many times after there has been a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, after people are saved, what we see next, as we see in the Acts of Apostles, many times where we'll see Paul come on the scene somewhere, he will ask, after you have received the Holy Spirit, after you've been baptized, have you received the Holy Spirit? So baptism was an essential part and parcel of the Christian faith in the early Christian church. It was essential for people to be baptized because it was a means of grace. And we'll talk about that being a means of grace also later. It was a means of grace, and it was something that the Lord Jesus Christ himself commanded. It was something that the Lord Jesus Christ himself did, even though he had no sin. We start from the book of Mark, chapter 1. And we will see in Mark, chapter 1, there was a baptism that was being carried out by somebody called John the Baptizer, whom we call John the Baptist today. There was something that John the Baptizer was doing back then that led many to come to him, led many to come to repentance. And John himself, being a cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ by birth, because Elizabeth, the mother of John, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were related. John was the forerunner for the Messiah, the forerunner in the person who came to foretell of the coming of the Messiah. And his own forerunning had been even foretold in the Old Testament, that there be in the wilderness one who will come, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And we saw that in the person of John the Baptist, who came to foretell of the coming of the Messiah. I read from the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, from chapter 1. And it says in verse 1, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized by him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Let's go to verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so here we see John, who came baptizing. What kind of baptism was he giving? It was baptism for the repentance of sin. So John came speaking about the sin of the nation, the sin of the people. And with the Holy Spirit convicting the heart of the people, they realized that they were sinners. And in John doing that, he came preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, for what he was going to do. And so many came to him, because at that time John was by the Jordan River. Many came to him and were baptized, and their baptism was for a repentance. So they repented of their sins and were baptized. Now you'll ask, if this baptism was for the repentance of sin, why was the Lord Jesus Christ himself baptized? Because Jesus, as the Bible put it, he had no sin. He knew no sin. He was not a sinner. Yet he came to John to be baptized by him. Does that mean there was sin in the life of Christ? No. No. Why Jesus Christ was baptized was just to fulfill what had been written by the prophets. Jesus Christ himself said it in another one of the Gospels, to fulfill all righteousness. Because it had been written that he would be baptized, because it had been written that he would take away the sins of the people, he himself subjected himself to the will of the Father through what the Holy Spirit had written in the scriptures, and he himself was baptized. And it's in the same light that we as Christians today are baptized. We are baptized because Jesus Christ himself has said it. And we will open the scriptures and see where did he say it. That we should be baptized. And so, in obedience to the commandment of Jesus Christ, we are baptized. Jesus Christ was baptized by somebody who, that person said, the laces of his shoes, I'm not worthy to bear. Somebody who was way less than Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ said something of him. Of all men born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist because of the meekness about him. So John the Baptist, he baptized Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not need to be baptized because he was sinless. Yet he brought himself to the place of obedience that he was baptized in water by the Jordan River. And I know many people who go to Israel today, they go to the Jordan River to be rebaptized. You don't need to be. But there's nothing wrong with it if you want to. Now, why are we baptized as Christians? There are a few reasons that people postulate. But according to the Word of God, there are two reasons that we find that stare us in the face of why we are baptized. One, we already said, it's for obedience to what the Lord Jesus Christ has told us. At the end of one of the Gospels, it says that we should go into all the world, preaching the good news and baptizing all in the name of the Father. Preaching the good news and baptizing. That was one of the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ by which we know that we ought to be baptized. The second reason is a symbolic reason. And that symbol is a very, very important symbol. Yes? That is correct. Did you read my scripture notes? You dreamt about it? You read it in a book. Okay. Prophet Joshua told us. That is the second reason. The symbol of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we as Christians, we do not believe that death is the end of our story. There are many in this world who they are called materialists that believe that once you die, you take your place with the rocks. That's all. But as Christians, we believe that we are more than flesh. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a person close to you die before. I have seen it, and one thing strikes me over and over again. Seeing the person alive and seeing the corpse of the person, I always say, no, that is not the person I know. Because the person in the coffin is just the body. Because the body without life is what we call a corpse. The person we know, and this is why we always say that, no, this is not the person, is that the person, the reality of who we are, is our soul and our spirits. That is what gives life to us. And once our spirit leaves our body is just mere flesh, which is subject to decay, which is subject to come back to what it was made from. From dust you have come, to dust you will return. But as Christians, we believe that our souls and our spirits would live eternally. And that is true. Because when salvation comes, this earthly body does not have any salvation. Our souls and spirits have been saved by God, and at the point of death, we are awaiting a heavenly body. The Apostle Paul makes us understand that for this terrestrial world, for this world in which we live, we have an earthly body. And this earthly body will die and will take on a heavenly body, which is an eternal body. But in what we talked about, in that symbol of the death, the burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are baptized, signifying that we know and we believe that when we die, we go into the grave, one day we will resurrect with Christ. That is the hope. That is the hope that keeps us living as Christians. That is the hope that we have as Christians, that we would live eternally. You see, if Christ never rose from the grave, there's no hope. Paul himself said it. If in this world alone we have hope, if for material things alone we have hope, if for the life we live alone we have hope, of all men, we're what? Do you know why we're most miserable? Because we are preaching an eternity that is false. Because they were preaching that there is a resurrection after death. Because the Christ we believe in, because he resurrected. And the accounts, they go like this. After he resurrected from the dead, there were many in the grave who rose from the grave and followed him into the city. And one day, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed his power over death in raising Lazarus from the death, when he said, "Lazarus, come forth," one day he's going to tell all his children to come forth. And those who are dead in Christ, as the Bible makes me understand, those who are dead in Christ, they will be the ones who will be raised first. And that is the hope we have. That is one of the reasons why we are baptized. It's a profession of our faith. It's a profession of our belief that when we die, we have hope that we will be resurrected with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the physical act of baptism, the person who is going to be baptized will be dipped into the water. And that is another reason why as Christians, because there are many modes of baptism which is practiced in the Christian church. But in New Covenant Church, we follow the pattern prescribed in the Bible itself. Because the word baptizo is a Greek word, which we call baptism today, which means to immerse, to dip, to immerse fully in something, to dip fully in something. And so we are immersed in the water, signifying the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are raised from the water, signifying the hope that we have that one day we too will resurrect with the Lord Jesus Christ. So apart from us, being subject to obedience to the word of God, in that we have to be baptized as Christians after we profess faith in Christ, we also are baptized as a symbol of what Christ has done. He was dead, buried, and he resurrected. So let's go into the Bible, Colossians chapter 2, and we see where the great apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul talks about it in his letter to the Colossians. Are we all there? Colossians chapter 2, I'll start from verse 11. In whom also you Colossians, you Christians, New Covenant Church, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. This is the verse I'm particularly interested in. Buried with him in what? Buried with him in baptism, in which also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Buried with him in baptism, risen with him through faith in the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And we believe that the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead will raise us also from the dead, and we would live eternally with him. Believe me, you know, when I preach to atheists and they tell me that, look, after death, there's nothing else. You know, there's a materialistic idea about a death that only terminates in the grave. Because you then ask, if for your righteousness and for evil, we all come to the same end, the reason is, why do we live for righteousness at all then? Wouldn't it be an evil, unworthy life for you to hold on to your faith in the place of, in the face of suffering, knowing that you have a hope that, having suffered in this flesh, you would live eternally with him? If I have done everything to be right with God, and the same end and the same prize is what those who have lived without him lived for their own, you know. Evil is in this world, brethren. Let me tell you, evil is in this world. And I cannot see how those who are striving for righteousness can come to the same end and the same prize as those who are evil. There was a news clip I saw about these two young ladies. One was an auxiliary nurse who was practicing in Abeokuta. And she wanted the dream of most people who want to come abroad, who want a better life for themselves. And she went to this Alhaji because they said that he knew how to get people abroad. Went to him to get passports. Went to him to get a means of coming abroad. And this Alhaji took from her ₦500,000 and her friend 520,000 naira, saying the 500 was for their passage, the 20,000 naira was for the application for the passports. And he said this Alhaji, of course, was not in Nigeria. His wife was the one directing all the services in Nigeria. Eventually, he said that, well, what they were going to do is that they were going to go to Kano, and the person who will get them abroad, you know, is a friend of his, he's there. And the ladies, they went to Kano. And from Kano, they were transferred to another vehicle, telling them that they were in Boko Haram territory, they should not speak. From there, they found themselves in the desert going to Libya. In Libya, they got to Tripoli and found themselves amongst hundreds of other younger girls and found that they had been kidnapped into a prostitution ring where they were using them, you know. And I thought, how can a human being use other human beings in that way? Tricking them to think that they are going somewhere, they paid, and now forcing them into prostitution because they are defenseless, because they don't have the means. There is evil in this world, and I do not know how such evil can end without a judgment. And that is why, one of the reasons why I believe that death is not the end. Because every evil will be judged by God. Because our God is a righteous God. The second reason, or the third reason now, one is obedience, two is symbolism. The third reason is another one that is symbolic of a washing and a purification from sin. when we are laid into the water and raised again, you know, the Bible tells us that those who are in Christ, they are new creatures. All things are passed away, all things have become new. When you come to Christ, one of the things that you decide to do in your heart is that you want to live like Him. If you've been saved from something, you know that the person who saved you, you are thankful to that person. If you've ever been chased by a dog before, you know, I don't know if you've been chased by a dog before. You know, when they talk about mortal fear, that you taste bile in your mouth. If you've been chased by a real dog, you will taste, you know, fear. Fear has a taste, you know that. You will taste it in your mouth. And if somebody saved you from being chased by a dog, believe me, you will never forget that experience. You know, I know Buki has a mortal fear of dogs. Oh, brother, was little dog, that little rat dog. So another one is a symbol of our being purified from our sins. As we are dipped into the water, we believe it's a symbol of purification from sins. You see, Christians, brethren, it is a lie for somebody to tell you that you do not need to do anything after you are saved, that the grace of God covers all sins. Yes, the grace of God covers all sins. But the evidence of you being in Christ is that you want to live a righteous life. Because I have never seen somebody, it will be an evil person, who somebody does great things for you and you will not be thankful and spite the person in the face. The evidence of something happening in your life in salvation is that you want to live right. You at least will make an attempt. The evidence of you being saved is that you want to be like Jesus, because your DNA is no longer the same. The DNA before you had Jesus in your life was the DNA of Satan. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said it to the Jews, that the devil was their father. And to every unbeliever, the devil is still the father of the person. The DNA of a sinner is that you tell lies and nothing pinches you. Is that you look at a woman lustfully or a man lustfully, it's your nature. Is that you still nothing, you don't feel anything. If you ever take something that is not yours and something doesn't cut within your heart, it is wrong. Believe me, you need to check yourself. The DNA of a non-believer is that they have nothing of Christ, nothing of the conscience to tell them that this is wrong. How can one person in the time of the Jews, how can one person exterminate 6 million people, give orders to exterminate 6 million people? How can a class of people take millions of people from their homeland and bring them as slaves to maltreat them, ill-treat them in a foreign land? There's something evil about the heart of man. The Bible says that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's the truth. A life without God is a life of endless, untold evil. And we think we have seen evil in this world. We haven't. Because there's still somebody who restrains evil happening in the world. That person is called the Spirit of God. The day will come where the restrainer will be removed and the devil himself would unleash evil as the world has never seen it before. We are reading in the news things that we've never seen before. It's because that day is getting nearer and nearer. I was watching the clip of that man in New York who was high on whatever he was he high on? You know, driving the car on the road and making a turn and going on the sidewalk, just mowing down people as if he's mowing down grass. With no conscience at all that, look, these are people. Any religion where there's no sanctity for life is the religion of the devil. Any people who bring themselves together, who do not believe in the sanctity of life, who believe that they can kill themselves for whatever cause, it's not a religion of Christ. It's not a religion of good. It is a religion of whom the person who has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy is the head of such people. When we come to Christ, there's something that changes about us. The nature of evil is no longer our nature. We are now in Christ. We are given new natures. And therefore, if truly there's a new nature within you, there has to be evidence of that new nature. And the evidence of that new nature is that you want to be like the one who has saved you. You want to walk like that, the person who has saved you. That is the evidence. So whoever tells you that Christ has forgiven all sins, you can walk as you want, grace covers it, is a lie. Is a lie from the pit of hell. When you are baptized, it's a symbol also of the washing away of your sins. The washing away that God said that your sins will be washed away and he will remember them no more. That is the third reason why we are baptized. Can somebody open to Titus 3:5? And you'll help me here. Titus 3:5. And another person open to Acts 22:16. And if you get there, you can read. Titus 3:5.
Titus 3:5.
He got it first.
Titus 3:5. Mm-hmm. He saved us because of his mercy, not because of good deeds we did to be right with God. He saved us through the washing that made us new people. He saved us by making us new through the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Sister Kemi, please read Acts 22:16.
Acts 22:16. Now why we wait any longer, get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away. Do this, trusting in him to save you.
There is a washing, a symbol of a washing of our sins, that as we are baptized, we believe that our sins have been washed away. So that symbolizes also the washing away of our sins. There's also another symbol, well, not a symbol, but something that people say that baptism also signifies, which, you know, I will mention it, but it's not something I want to stretch, because when it comes to symbols in the Bible, you can stretch it so far that, you know, you will even stretch it beyond what the Bible means it to be. Now, there is a significance of, as the Bible talked about it, the children of Israel, as they went through the Red Sea, there is a significance of them being immersed, a baptism of a salvation from the enemies that were chasing them. That as they crossed through the Red Sea, there was a deliverance from the army of Egypt who came after them. And some people believe that there's a significance in being baptized also of some wars, some things from the past, some battles, some spiritual battles, some family things that the Lord has saved you from. That being dipped into the water, it's like the army of Israel coming after you and the Lord covering and vanquishing the army of Israel right before them. Army of Egypt. Don't talk. The army of Egypt right before the Israelites. And in the same way, you as the child of God, as you are dipped into that water, the battles that have followed you, the Lord brings an end to it on that day in which, in obedience, you are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit. So we talked about baptism also being a means of grace. Because there is a blessing that follows those who in obedience perform what the Lord has asked them to perform. Who in obedience, the Holy Spirit pours out the blessing of God upon their lives because they are obedient to what the Lord has said. We do not believe that baptism is also what we need to do for salvation. Some people, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, be saved and be baptized. Believe and be baptized and you shall be saved. Some people believe that those things go hand in hand. That having believed, you have to be baptized to be saved. Now, there is no other scripture that tells us that backs that up. Because there are other scriptures that even tell us that, no, that is not the case. Because Paul makes us understand we are saved by what? By faith alone. We are not saved by faith and baptism. We are saved by faith, by grace through faith. And that is not of ourselves. It is something that the Lord Jesus Christ has done within us. So, there's another scripture in which we see the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was being crucified, there were two thieves on his right and on his left. And one riled on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other, knowing that he was a sinner, asked him, Lord, permit me to be with you this day in paradise. And the Lord said he will be with him in paradise. Was that thief baptized? No, he was not baptized. He was not baptized. But as we said, baptism is a means of grace that comes through obedience to what the Lord has told us to do. It doesn't mean that if you die and are not baptized that you are not saved. No, you are saved. But if you say that you have the opportunity to be baptized and you say, no, I will not be baptized, then that is disobedience. And you cannot be saved and actively be in disobedience to the person who has saved you. Also, there was one account that our brother Lodja told me about some time ago. You know, this person I think was from the Far East, Asian. And that person had been saved, and Brother Elijah, you know, had encouraged the person to be baptized. And the person resisted being baptized. The person did not want to be baptized. And Brother Elijah, you know, was curious about finding out, why don't you want to be baptized? And the person said, you see, in my culture, he knew that what he was doing in being baptized was also a symbol of cutting himself off from everything that concerned his family, his culture, his background, and clinging onto the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was not ready to do that yet. Eventually, when he was ready, he was the one who called Brother Elijah and said, come, I want you to baptize me. Because he knew what he was doing wasn't just something, let me just dip myself in water. It was symbolic enough for him to know that this thing means I'm cutting myself off. You know how God told Moses to come out from his people, to come out of his land, to go to a place where he will show him. He knew that was the kind of thing he was going through, that in being baptized, he was making a statement that no longer would he live according to his culture, according to his people, according to his path, according to their family traditions, because he was making a clean break and clinging only to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had to think it over and come to the place where he now made the decision that he was leaving everything. Because for them, it was like for a Muslim, if you say in the Muslim lands that you reject Allah and you wanted to follow any other person, you are killed. There's something called honor killing. You are killed. So for him, that was a cutting off point, which wasn't anything trivial at all. So for us as Christians, when we make a profession that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we make that profession with our hearts. We believe with our hearts. And with our mouth, we proclaim. And also with our action, we proclaim publicly that this thing that we believe in our hearts, we are following through in obedience in baptism. And we become His eternally. Do we understand? Does it make sense? Okay. And so, by the grace of God, as we prepare teachers of the young adults and the children, I want you to please follow up with them in your classes and help us to know those who make a profession of faith and would like to be baptized. You know, some of those who have gone to college and are home now, who have not been baptized yet, will want to follow up with the baptism if they would like to be baptized. And I do not make light of the fact that even children can make a profession of faith. And so we do not turn them away. If they make a profession of faith and they believe in the Lord they serve, they will be baptized. And for adults also, if you have not been baptized, when we make the arrangements, we would let the church know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our Father, Most High and Most Holy One of Israel, Father, we give thanks for your word today. We give thanks for what we have learned of the hope that we have that in death, Lord, we will be risen with you. And so whether in life we glorify you or in death we'll glorify you, Lord, your name be glorified. You are the one who has promised us an eternity with you, which the world can never know. And Father, this that you have given us by grace through the faith that you have granted unto us, help us to walk in the newness of this life with a heart of thanksgiving and with a life dedicated solely to living in the way that is pleasing unto you. Father, we know that it is not the works that save us, but the evidence of a life dedicated unto you is a life that will be serious with you, is a life that will seek you, is a life that will worship you. And this kind of life, Lord, I pray. And if, Lord, we are slacking, encourage us. If the work of regeneration has not been done, convict us, O Lord. I pray that you, who is able to save to the utmost, you will save us, O God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we are obedient to your word, let this work of regeneration be real in the life of everyone. Amen.